okay, this is the big match. The way this works is that we watch a game from the past, the first half of a game on the whole, and you listen to us. I'm Neil Atkinson, I've got Carl Kopak, Adam Smith, Simon Hughes and Robert Gutman. And the match that we're watching today, the link is on here, so it doesn't work if you're walking a dog that well, but it might do. I mean, maybe you'll enjoy that. But it's from Sunday the 16th of September 1990. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's Liverpool versus Manchester United, and no spoilers, but Liverpool win the game 4-0 and they're 3-0 up at half time, so actually spoilers. So we're going to press play in. If someone can count me down here, we're going to press play all together. 3, 2, 1, go. So this is the pre-roll. We're just going to put up with the pre-roll as it shows a flag flying Liverpool with league champions on there. This is from when we last won the title, which is 26 years ago. Simon Hughes, how old were you then?
That's a good question. I would have been six.
You'd have been six. Rob Gutman,
26 years ago.
Were you in your mid or late 40s?
What year is this? 1923.
There's Kenny. We've had Alex Ferguson.
I was 23.
You were 23.
So I'm your go-to guy here, because I actually remember. I was sentient.
You were sentient. Were you at the game?
Yes, I was.
Carl Kopak, were you at the game?
No.
You weren't at this. This is a full live comment. This is a full match coverage from 1990. It's live from Anfield. It's making that very, very clear. Adam Smith, do you remember the game? Have any knowledge of it at all?
No, but did you say it was the 16th of September?
Yes.
So it's the day before my birthday then. So I'm 7. I'm 8 tomorrow morning.
You're 8 tomorrow morning when this is screened.
United, full of hopes and dreams and excited Adam.
Yeah. United had won the FA Cup, I think it's fair to say, hadn't they, the previous season. I'll double check that now. They had, because we faced them in the Charity Shield, which was a 1-1 draw. So United were FA Cup winners, Liverpool were league champions, as I said before at this time. It was a huge game. This is from 1987, a little clip here of John Barnes kicking it into the goal, which he did lots, and often with aplomb. This is also John Barnes in 1988 kicking it into the goal.
What is aplomb?
What is aplomb? It's something that happens when footballers kick it in the goal, Simon. They store it up.
It's the only time you use that.
Aplomb. It only happens, it's the only sport where it happens, aplomb.
Yeah.
Aplomb or
V-plomb? No, it's aplomb. I think it's with...
This is against Villa. This is one of Barnes' best ever goals we're watching.
Loads of aplomb on that.
Yeah. He's aplombed it into the back top corner.
Yeah. Aplombed it face off. This is now some United players doing things with a bit of luck. This game actually starts pretty soon.
But if I remember, Neil, just to cut across you, I remember going into this game, and I might be right or wrong, is that United were very low in the table and we were very high in the table.
They're just showing the table.
It showed the table.
Is that not right? Was that last season's
table? Ahead of them, I think.
Yeah. I thought that was last season's finish table.
No, they were there.
Because there's only four games in.
Mark Robbins is scoring all United's goals here, isn't he?
Yeah, United, before kickoff, United are on 10 points and Liverpool are on 12 before kickoff.
Maybe it's the previous... there was a lot of singing, you're going down with United in that era. I don't know why. Maybe United's flirted around the bottom half of the table too often.
But here's the lads getting ready for the kickoff of the big match. And as I say, we're going to do 45 minutes. I'd expect Mike Nevin and John Macken to walk in at some point during this. We have a pretty relaxed outlook, as does Elton Wellesby. There's a lot to be said for Elton Wellesby. He's probably my favourite living Evertonian, which is a high honour indeed.
It's a dream match for him, isn't it?
It's the one
he wanted to be at.
Perfect for him all the way through. This was originally ITV coverage. You can see Brian Moore there. Who's that next to Brian?
Laurie McMenemy, is it? Sorry.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's Laurie McMenemy.
Slightly startled. Stuff.
So they're settling down. Hopefully going to kick off in a minute.
Big build-up to this, isn't it?
Well, 5 minutes worth. Yeah. Which, going back then, is a lot of build-ups. They must have felt it was a huge occasion. Grobbelaar is in goal for Liverpool. Glenn Hussein plays for Liverpool. It was his first season. David Burrows, left-back. Steve Nicol. Ronnie Whelan and Gary Gillespie. So it'll be Gillespie and Hussein at the centre of the defence. Beardsley, Houghton, Rush. Turn this around very, very slowly indeed. John Barnes.
No, wasn't this Hussein's second, the one where he went bad? Because he had a great first.
It's Hussein's second. You're quite right, Rob. Well done.
Okay. Just checking.
Hussein Gillespie there, he's put it all there for you. Nicol at right back, Burrows at left. Whelan and McMahon in the centre of the pitch. Houghton on one side, Barnes on the other, Beardsley behind Rush. And as you're beginning to see the start of this United side, that's actually really good and goes on to win things. Sly Hughes, you've got Dennis Irwin in there, Bruce, Phelan, Pallister. These are lads, Paul Ince, Brian McClair, Mark Hughes,
Neil and Webb.
Robbins less so. Webb, Robbins, they're not really there in the first United League side, but you can see other lads.
I really liked Dennis Irwin as a player. I thought he was one of the most underrated players that has featured in England, and certainly one of the best Irish players of you know, the last kind of 20, 25 years in my lifetime anyway. Free kicks and penalties. He's brilliant at as well, wasn't he?
Leicester Shafter is the referee.
Look at their defence. It's got the makings of that title winning defence. When they get a keeper. Our defence was in decline then. Gary Gillespie was getting riddled with injuries. Hussein was in that difficult second season. Burrows never really became a player for us.
Got booked a lot.
Yeah.
Certainly this season, they got booked all the time.
He's more Moreno than Moreno sometimes, that lad. And Stevie Nicol was good still, but probably just edging past his very best.
Okay. Match just kicked off. Obviously, you're watching it with us. And United's goalkeeper has the ball, Les Seeley, a man who always made me think of the fellow Carl Harmon from Brushstrokes. I'm not entirely clear why. United have got blue shorts on, one of the many abominations about them. Clears down the pitch, but it's a really good kit there, actually, from a neutral perspective. I think both kits
are spectacularly good.
Is this what we're taking from it so far?
They're really good kits. Yeah, I mean,
Fleck.
Imagine if those flecks happen now, the absolute outrage.
Yeah.
And we look back at these kits, you know, and think how fantastic they are. Liverpool, you know, as well, Bruce Grobbelaar wearing red shorts and red socks. That's unusual, isn't it? It's not allowed.
I think it makes a massive difference. I think it looks so much better.
United one looks not dissimilar to that one that they said they couldn't see each other in when they lost. Was it 4-1 to Palace?
Southampton.
Yeah, you remember that one? It looks not dissimilar to that.
Liverpool have just gone really long from a goal kick there as well.
With a great flick on from Beardsley, which Beardsley won.
I wonder why that looks so odd.
McMahon's picked the ball up at centre midfield. I mean, it is, you mentioned there, Rob, that it, you know, that an age inside here, but it is the 87-88 midfield as Burrows steams down the left and nearly gets something from it.
Yeah, they're in the middle of a run, and unreliable memoir here, where even though we go on to sort of fail to win the league and fall away and Kenny resigns and it ends up at a horribly messy end to the season. At this phase, we were pretty imperious. I think we win 9 out of our first 10, something ridiculous like that.
Record, yeah.
And this is in the middle of that run. And it was just one of those days where you just thought, we're going on forever here, even though we're not convinced at the back.
And we never beat them then, but even...
Yes, exactly right.
Because we didn't beat them in 88, and, you know, one of our greatest ever sides, and we still didn't beat them at Anfield that season. We were a goal down in 30 seconds, as usual.
The last two Anfields against them are a narrow 1-0 with a penalty from Barnes the year before, and the year before was the famous 3-3 with Greg Kenny says, you'll get more sense out of my daughter than...
One of my favourite ever games.
Alex Ferguson.
Needly, that one.
Yeah.
That's a little bit needly.
So to properly turn them over, this was... It was a rare thing to do this to them, despite the fact that the rivalry was always... In fact, despite the fact that we were so far ahead of them, really.
I didn't see us beat United live for years. Absolutely years.
No, me neither.
We'd always lose like 1-0 on Boxing Day or something.
Draws and narrow defeats.
Yeah. Ronnie Whelan in the middle of the park there. John Barnes has dropped in, picking the ball up, gets passed out. No time in the corner of the screen, so we've got no real sense of where we're up to, which now is strikingly strange.
Is this a full 45, 90 minutes?
It's a full 45. We're going to watch the full first half. We've got no sense where we're up to. Mark Hughes there, fair to say, very, very tough man. Not someone you'd have enjoyed playing centre-back against, Simon Hughes.
No, he was... I mean, the strange thing about Mark Hughes is he's not the tallest. You have the impression that he's quite physically imposing. He's just incredibly wide and very muscular, and he still is now as a manager. You know, when you kind of... Like, I've encountered him quite a few times in outside press rooms, and I wouldn't want to mess with him. Like, he's got a real granite head.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought he was a fantastic player.
Yeah, famously had thighs which were ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Oxford twice thighs. The width of Ian Rush.
Yeah.
You know, they were...
He could compete with John Barnes for thighs, I think, couldn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, he was really, really good footballer. His trademark was volleying the ball really well.
Mm.
That's my recollection of it. He had a lot of spring in those thighs, and he could get up and volley it fantastically. I think we were at the receiving end of some of those volleys, for both against when he played for United, then latterly for Chelsea. Yeah, we always called a song Huseless at him.
Right. Yeah,
Huseless.
That's what he's known as in fancy, yeah.
Mark Hughes. He was far from Huseless. And, unfortunately.
He's in there.
United are in here. Huseless is in.
She'll do better.
Yeah.
Huseless finish.
Yes.
It's noticeable, though, the extent, Adam, that there's a lot of winning the right to play in the centre of the park. Often we see this when we look back at these older games, but there is, but it's actually not dissimilar to the Premier League last season in a sense. There's a lot of having to win the right to play in the middle of the pitch with a lot of back and forth football early in games.
Yeah, not a lot of big tackles and sort of imposing yourself as well, isn't there? Although Si said something a minute ago that I can't stop watching, which just seems completely alien having had Mignolet for a while, but is how far Grobbelaar is throwing and kicking the ball and how quickly he's doing it. It's like watching something alien. It's really weird. But yeah, there's big battles going on all over the show in the...
Grobbelaar's playing like he's got somewhere to go. he really is at this moment.
Yeah, we take for granted now that keepers more often than not look to bowl the ball out to their fullback. But actually, it's something I think we sort of began to ape from Barcelona a lot more. Even the great Liverpool sides, you know, even though they were the furthest thing you can imagine from what people knew as long ball sides, when the goalkeeper was in possession, I think the default notion was, why piss about? Mm. Get it forward and give yourself an opportunity. That's what you often got, which you never hear anymore at Anfield. But in my growing up years, even until about 15 years ago, you used to hear the shout, get it on the deck.
Yeah.
Because the keepers would always go long and there'd be head tennis, as everyone used to call it, in the middle of the park. Seemed to
he's
go
just
all
done one there. He's just.
Bruce Grobbelaar has done that three times now. He's just randomly picked it up at speed and then just volleyed it into the stands, like from a goal kick. Can you just imagine I keep on using the word outrage, the way people get outraged by everything now.
That's a bad tackle, but he's not giving it, obviously, and that's another one that comes in across there. It's interesting that, you know, United are playing in theoretically right midfield, but you've already seen him tucked in. Oh,
United have started the better team here.
Yeah, they have.
It's interesting to look at them now, and you think they're not far off a side that became a really dominant side. But it's interesting to look at the gaps. They've got Fulcrum. They've got those centre backs were in place that became Ince is in place, Irwin's in place, a few further forward who part of the first title winning side. But where it's interesting to see where they've got the weaknesses.
I mean, you look at the ages of the teams as well. I mean, when I look back, I always think of Steve Bruce and Gary Pallister as permanently being 30 years old. Even though here, they're probably in the mid, early to mid-20s.
Pallister's 23 when he's about here, when he signed.
You look back at, like, kind of you look at the Liverpool team, it's quite an old team, isn't it? It could be. Who did Bruce start signing for?
Norwich. But Pallister is I remember being around 2.6 million, which was a lot of money, a record, I think, for a centre-half in Britain. You know, in today's terms, it was like that Rio Ferdinand 30 million transfer almost.
Yeah.
When it happened quite a while ago.
Well, they wanted Glenn Hussain, didn't they?
Yeah.
They wanted Glenn Hussain at the start of this season.
Yeah, let's not make out here, because I remember being angry about it at the time that Ferguson was picking nice players here. Ince was the young midfielder. Exactly. You know, it's like going out and asking someone to name their price for Dele Alli, and he did. Like asking someone to name their price for Vincent Kompany with Pallister. Bruce was also a top centre back, so United, we felt, oh god, here they go again, trying to spend their way to success. And that's what made it all the sweeter when we continued to seem like we had the ascendancy over them.
It's a strange game to look at this, because you kind of know what comes next.
Both in terms of this game and also in terms of the next 15, 20, 25, 27 years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's a nice sunny day at Anfield. You know, the crowd are probably in quite a boisterous mood. It's the start of the season, Liverpool are champions, and, you know, within a couple of months, Kenny Dalglish is gone. History unravels.
Well, there's the famous shout in this game. This game is famous for one shout from Anfield, which is Fergie must stay at the end.
Right.
Again, we showed them.
Have they hit the woodwork there or something pretty close? Brian McClough's. He famously, I think, became the first United player to score over 20 league goals in half a century, or I don't know, 20 years or something like that.
Since 68, I think it was.
Yeah. It's definitely like, I said to Carl when I saw him a few months ago, like, you forget just how fine margins are on football, really, because United could be 2-0 up here. And, it, you know, you forget how shit a lot of games are, actually, for the vast majority of the game.
Played.
Yeah. Even when you win, sort of, you know, 4 or 5-0, it can still be pretty appalling for a large portion.
It's Barnes.
I think if they'd scored first, we'd have responded, though, Adam. I'm not having that. They were 2-0 up.
No, I just mean, you know, that they could have easily... They've dominated, really, and they've had two pretty clear chances, which they probably should have put away. And, you know, if they're 2-0 up, does the game, you know, finish 2-2, 3-2 to Liverpool, maybe something like that. But, you know, I just think what I mean is, when you say it's 4-0, you expect to watch a game where you watch one team absolutely batter the other.
You will. Trust me.
It's like you're willfully ignoring my point, Rob.
I know what you're saying, but oh, here's Beardsley going. Oh, Jesus, he's good. but
lights on his feet.
Yeah. But I suppose that does happen. You see that. Even games where you end up going a goal down and then you turn the screw. This was one of those games where I think we stopped playing with anxiety against them, stopped treating it like a derby. Too often like that with Everton, I felt down the years, we let them off the hook.
Yeah.
I think whenever we got one up against United, we always let them off the hook.
Mm. We did last season.
Almost a sense that you can't humiliate your local rival.
Another great corner from Liverpool there.
Yeah.
Still got it. This may be a strange question, but why are some people wearing armbands? Not everyone. Beardsley is.
I don't know. The shape of the football shirts are interesting as well. They're not exactly figure hugging, are they? They're just kind of they're there.
Yeah.
You know, quite.
Barnsley had started filling out. Then,
yeah.
If you look at it.
He's not a captain, is he? No, he wouldn't be.
That's going to
bother me now for half an hour.
Beardsley sets the two men up and just drifts between them.
Goal on the hips.
It takes the third to take him out.
You know, when you think about Peter Beardsley in this game, I know what's to come with Beardsley, but and Liverpool, obviously I don't want to give the game away, but, you know, why did Liverpool let him go so soon? It was such a big mistake. I think that letting Beardsley go before, you know, all the other players at Graham Souness let go within a year of this game, it was probably more damaging for Liverpool than any, because they lost that link man that they had, you know, for a number of, well, since the 70s, basically, and just became a more direct team, and never took a long time to get that right again. You know,
it's massive. That, do you know what's as strange?
Oh, he's in.
Here we are.
There we go.
Oh, Beardsley.
Beardsley just tucks his first in, doesn't he?
Slightly against the run of play, but it's well opened up there by McMahon and Barnes. Beardsley forces it over the line at the near post, and a very, very, very young-looking section of Liverpool supporters celebrates to Liverpool make it 1-0.
It just did look. You could tell from minutes before Liverpool had suddenly stepped it up a gear, hadn't they? You know, with Beardsley's chance just before.
It's noticeable as well, isn't it? Just how quickly, you know, when Liverpool get in the opposition's half, just how quickly they move the ball.
Exactly.
You know, like they're quite slow. You know, they will pass it around at the back, but then suddenly they spring into action.
Mm.
To go back to your point about Beardsley, it's one of the great, you know, there are mysteries of our history that we talk about, like, why exactly did Shanks quit? I know we've heard the reasons. Yeah. I know Kenny was depressed, but was there something else? Or, do you know what I mean? There's certain eternal mysteries of our, which sort of feels like part of our folklore. Why the hell Kenny stopped picking Peter Beardsley and then soon as followed suit and then got rid is something I've never had explained.
And because got rid there as well.
Sorry?
And sold him to them,
yes,
as well.
Yes, sold him. I never, you know, I was a fan of Beardsley to the end. I never saw a dip off in his game.
Never.
He just starts, so there's suddenly a point in this season where they just stop, where Kenny stopped picking him and soon as seemed to pick up the thread, almost as if it was a given. And I don't understand it to this day. There was all kinds of rumours which don't stack up about some sort of argument between the wives. Mm. It just sounds like taxi driver type stuff.
I think, I mean, here comes a plug for the book that I wrote about Liverpool in 1990. Well, I did interview Souness and he spoke to me at length about like all the players that he got rid of, and he did regret selling Peter Beardsley. I think he said that by the time, I mean, obviously Peter Beardsley doesn't have the reputation of somebody particularly difficult to manage, I think, you know.
No.
But there was a really great reason, trying to rack my brain now, but he did say that by the time he'd arrived, that Peter Beardsley pretty much decided that he'd wanted to go because he'd had such a fallout. And I think some of the players, as you say, he'd had a bit of a fallout with some of the other players and he was just really kind of unsettled. And he still felt he could get good money for him. Yeah, I mean,
and then he didn't get good money.
Yeah, he didn't get good money for him. Oh, United, it was
should
like
score, really should score there, Neil Webb. Off the crossbar, and really should have been an equaliser there for Neil Webb. Went for a lot of money to Manchester United.
From Forest, wasn't it?
Became a postman.
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because his wife did some sort of football fan-based programme. Shelley Webb, is that her name? Sort of mid early 90s, around this time. Yeah, his wife presented the show with the bloody played Damon from Brookside. Standard room only, I want to say, but I'm not sure. Something like that.
We're seeing lots of shots of the old Kemlin there, which is not to be sniffed out, the old Kemlin, because it had those mad floodlights, which I don't think I've seen anywhere else, which extended sort of on a rack far, far beyond the roof light into the sky.
Just got the match report here. John Macken's joined us. If he wants to swap a microphone with someone at some point, it's Liverpool versus Manchester United, the 4-0. You're going to struggle to see it from there, John, so just tag someone out in a minute. More than happy to keep this show as laid back as possible, the 4-0. We've just had a full Peter Beardsley conversation, and also United probably deserve to be level throughout the course of the game so far. It's interesting. The goals occurred. Just a post-match comment here as well from Ferguson's recently bought. Dennis Irwin is playing right back for him against John Barnes today, knocked off. And there's just this quote here from Ferguson I've got in a post-match thing that I've read off LFC history. This Irwin didn't do too badly, and it was a good experience for him, Ferguson said. And this is back to the idea of what we talked about with team building, as Ferguson's putting this team together, Carl. But he goes on to say, Barnes' vision is magnificent. His passing was unbelievable, and we just couldn't handle him. He is a magnificent player who is right on song at the moment. I mean, that doesn't sound much like what gets perceived as latter-day Ferguson, but it's a very honest assessment of the fact that
He was always very, very positive. Even when the famous one is the Old Trafford goal where he goes from the halfway line.
He's just gone here, by the way. Can't live with him. Look at the bouncing off him.
Jesus.
Absolutely bouncing off him. Go on. And it's almost the feeling that was coming and it didn't.
After that game at Old Trafford where he went through from the halfway line, like Ferguson was just talking about nothing else after that game, just about how great he was.
I think you almost got the impression he thought it was unfair that we had John Barnes.
Yeah.
I think he'd always, in his mind, it was John Barnes was the only reason that we were better than them in that era. Which is probably, not the worst shout in the world. It's phenomenal.
Liverpool moving along here, John. John, I presume you were at this game, John Macken.
Certainly was, yeah. What year was this we're talking about now?
1990, the 4-0.
I was going to say 1990. The last year again.
It's 1-0 to Liverpool.
I think that's unfair to say it was just Barnes was the difference. I think the difference was we played probably as well as we did against Man United all through the 80s here. We just scored in this match.
We all said this, yeah.
All through the 80s, we couldn't score against the Buggers.
Yeah, I know. We just said we never could get more than a solitary goal, could we?
No.
It's noticeable as well, there's something else that you keep saying here, is that Liverpool are... Adam, whenever it cuts to you, it feels a lot of elastic stuff already from United. So United are, you get the impression they're almost, this is as well as they can do. We're this far into the game, they're looking already a bit leggy, looking like, as Si said before, when Liverpool accelerate and start to play passes around the corners, they can't live with them.
Yeah, it looks a little bit as well like they've had three really good chances, and it looks a little bit like they're going, we're not going to get many more of these, we needed to put one of them away, really. And it does look like, I think what Rob's point was maybe trying to make before was it looks like Liverpool have got up again.
Is that Burrows and then
two
McMahon?
Reds in a row there nowadays.
Burrows and then McMahon. Burrows and then McMahon absolutely rattling in.
And Ince just stands up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and instrumental.
Don't show any weakness. Yeah.
Makes a mental note.
I just think United look like a really kind of young and a bit naive team. You can tell, like, that Gary Pallas and Steve Bruce haven't been there for that long.
Ince is young.
Even though they look
young.
Like they've been there for years. Ince is obviously in his first season as well, isn't he? So, just the experience of Liverpool's team already, you can just tell. Yeah,
just playing around the corner there against
Ince. Was that a reverse by Beardsley, was it?
Yeah, playing around the corner there against Ince. But it's another really good ball in. It's another really good chance for United. Back post there, Mark Hughes.
Half chance, Neil. Come on. Let's not give them too much credit. Brucey, catching practice for Brucey.
No, you won't Robert, see Robert literally happened 26 years ago. Yeah.
you won't see a ball punched.
We haven't spoken of Glenn Hussein, have we really?
Yeah, he became shit this season. Really shit.
Yep.
Dangerously shit.
Yeah, but his wife was absolutely gorgeous.
Was she?
Oh, God, yeah.
You'd expect nothing less. He was quite a stand-up guy.
I worked at the Home Office, so we had to look at his online statistics. Well, not online. His computer statistics and stuff, just to find out how old she was. Elena, that was her name. Sorry, Elena, I was stalking you.
Doesn't sound great, this John, I was going to say. Yeah. Doesn't sound fabulous by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. Hughes there knocks it off, same comes across.
I met him in the players' lounge at Tottenham. Might have been this season, and I said to him, your missus is really fit. Do you fancy a bit of swapsies? And he looked at me in all seriousness and went, don't know, I've never seen your missus.
But a bad picture there as it knocks off, comes back in. Liverpool go long again, happy just to get it out. Well won by... The second ball again, there's brilliant from McMahon. Absolutely steams in. Leaves Webb with no chance. Already watching this, you feel as though Carl Webb's a little bit of a weak link for United. Yeah. He doesn't appear to be quite at the Liverpool versus Man United races in this game.
It was a classic buy of he's doing quite well for a lower league team, or you know, further down the league side, and you know he'll be brought in for the big money and he'll fit in, and he wasn't really up to it, to be honest.
Basically, the type of player we seem to buy these
exactly
days.
That sort of player.
Unfortunately,
he's one of those players. He's everywhere but does nothing.
He's put a couple of really good balls in, but he's not.
He should have scored one already.
But he's not. But it's as soon as it breaks, because you've seen Liverpool pick up all the second balls in the middle of the park and be able to go at a pace that they can't live with.
Mind you, look at it's McManus in midfield. You're not going to. I'd let them get on with it, to be honest.
Even the first 10, 15 minutes, this just Grabalar's just all over the place, isn't he?
I think he's doing well.
Commanding.
I think it's dead interest now, Grabalar. Was as a goalkeeper. If Grabalar was keeping goal now, people would be writing, it's a free header from 4 yards out.
Yeah, it's a terrible piece of marking. Oh, and it's a 50p head. Oh, it's a terrible header there. Jesus Christ.
I think there's an upgrade there.
Yeah. It's fair. Worth saying. It's unreal. Unreal. John Gibbons is furious with everybody behind the producer. He's just stood there, Johnny. He's just stood there, and the ball's coming towards him. Someone should be dealing with this. It's worth pointing out, isn't it, Si, that, you know, if Grabalar was a goalkeeper now, there'd be people writing essays about what he does when he plays in goal and how much he moves around and where he is.
This is the thing, you know, I don't think anybody'd be able to figure him out. You know, like, we talk about, well, a lot of people talk about stats and stuff like that. I just think no stat could measure Bruce Grabalar. You know, nothing could. Because he's just so crazy. I mean, I think he is probably the craziest person that's ever played for Liverpool. Yeah. Certainly in my generation, anyway.
He'd probably be right up there with, you know, statistics for like completed passes and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Did he ever go through a period of like feeling sorry for himself the way some goalkeepers do now? You know what I mean? Like, if he makes, because he obviously makes a couple of mistakes.
Yeah.
That, I think was that his strength? No, I think Grabalar, the fact that he
would have like a mini breakdown on the pitch and for like 30 seconds and just get over it.
Mm. Yeah. You didn't get the feeling he got very phased, did you?
He used to say, didn't he? He'd been in the army. He'd been running around the bush with people shooting at him, and this was just a game of football.
God. Yeah.
I do think he's not been in it very much so far.
Your chapter on him in your book is my favourite.
Oh, thanks for mentioning that. Nice one. What's
the book
called? I'm on commission. Yeah. No, that's my favourite chapter. I think it's the first one. So I gave up after that. To be honest.
No, I mean, he is. We were getting along so well.
Picks you up, puts you down.
No, his backstory is just unbelievable, isn't he? Yeah. You know, like, I mean, I don't think anybody is. I mean, I think he does lay a bit of oil on some of his stories, who doesn't? And you know, it's just amazing. I don't think anybody would go from the Rhodesian bush war to playing for Liverpool in the European Cup final in the space of 3 years.
Yeah, by Canada.
Yeah, I remember reading his autobiography in the 80s. Yeah, he fought for Ian Smith's apartheid army in Rhodesia. Yeah.
It's talking about oil in your story. You know that story he likes to tell on television about, he goes, hey, my name, if you take out one of the B's, put another A in there, take out the Z, put a Q in there, you know, turn it back to front, it means clumsy. That's interesting, Bruce.
That was a good impression.
It was.
But you're right, though, he wasn't really famous. Remember the run in 86 where he dives over the ball in the derby, and he didn't seem that bothered by it. You know, and he wasn't getting a few games after that. But there was no sort of crash of form.
I think he just underlines that to be a Liverpool goalkeeper, I know it's a cliche with goalies, like, you do have to be nuts, don't you?
Oh, I think it's extremes. I think you either need to. I think the same for United as well. To be honest, I think you either need to be completely ice cool, ice in the veins goalkeeper, or an absolute head case. Yeah. I think halfway houses don't work. I think you've got to be going one way or the other.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I think that we don't want to get talking about the current team now, but that's obviously why.
Nothing.
When does Bruce go on till as our main goalkeeper?
About 94.
Yeah, you see, what's not talked about is why he falls off a cliff. Because he did get properly shit late on. And it's not like he was playing for us at the age of 42. You know, how old is he when he kicks his last ball for Liverpool? Maybe my memory's playing tricks.
38-ish, something like that.
I don't think he's that old that you go, you know, when you think how Van der Sar sort of got better from 35 onwards or 34 onwards.
I think there's issues around the fact that he always barns. Flashing it across.
There were some things alleged of Bruce in the latter part of his career.
And they'd signed David James, and he spent a lot of money on signing David James. And I think,
but also, Bruce is watching it all collapse around him to a certain extent. And I think that must, you know, when you've won everything, I think you can forget the idea that you're going to training every day, you're meant to be at this level, and so on. There's a point, if you're Bruce, forget the idea. I mean, Barnes is slightly different at this stage because Barnes signed in 87, 88. Whereas Bruce has been now, you know, we're talking about him on our 81, 82 show.
Yep.
So if he's still going in 94, there is a point surely where you are a bit like, I've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
Is there a correlation when the back pass rule comes in as well?
Yes.
And his head just falls off.
There is a bit. I mean, whether that affects him, but it definitely coincides with him not being the same player.
Is there a Hansen story where he says about Bruce Grobbelaar just couldn't get his head around the back pass rule because they used to use it to waste time and he just kept on picking it up all the time once it had been introduced?
Surprised me.
Sure, there was.
I don't remember him
doing something like that.
It's true that I think, you know, in the particularly in away games, obviously you're going to be under more pressure in away games, and all the players said that, you know, the first 10-15 minutes, obviously to try and, you know, quell everything, they'd just pass it back to Grobbelaar as much as they could, basically, and then suddenly they couldn't do that, and Bruce had decisions that he had to make, you know, which obviously wasn't always the best.
And he's never where you want him anyway, most of the time.
Yeah, so I think there is definitely an element to that. I think Liverpool generally suffer from the back pass rule. It's an underestimated thing because that's what Liverpool did. You know, they always played that rule quite well.
78 European Cup final.
Yeah.
The last 10 minutes of that, Clemens has got the ball more than anyone else.
The second half in most European away games in the 70s was just, you know, Clemens and Hughes
take the nil-nil,
passing the ball to each other.
Yeah, and the thing about that rule is because you could just so easily do it, you were genuinely inviting people onto you. Because if they wanted to stop that happening and their heads being done in, they had to come onto you. Mm. They couldn't just trust that you'd get the ball out eventually.
It was the season after Leeds won the league, wasn't it, when the law came in? Because remember, Leeds conceded a goal first game of the season because their keeper didn't know what to do.
Oh.
I think it was Wimbledon.
Oh.
Great move. 1-2, Barnes and Rush.
Genuine disappointment from Neil there.
It was. The ball deserved the finish.
Yeah. Well, the definition of a back pass in those early days was wasn't it more like the ball last touched one of your players, a deflection or...
Yeah.
Well, if you stretched out for a tackle, the goalie picked it up, he'd give a free kick.
I remember being disappointed when that rule came in because I thought, we're going to see billions of free kicks in the box. It's going to be dead exciting. And then no one ever did it. You saw one a season, didn't you? I mean, in fact, when that happened with Mignolet last season, that's the first one I can recall at Anfield in a lot. You know when he held onto the ball for 25 seconds?
There was a belt of Fabarello scores away at Portsmouth. I think it's a fact that someone knocks it off to Aurelio and he just fires it in. He anticipates them going one way and goes the other or something, I think.
That was the White Sox game, wasn't it?
The White Sox game, yeah.
Liverpool properly on top now.
Yeah, Liverpool cruising. There hasn't been a United chance in ages, and you're sort of wondering or waiting for the seconds in a sense. I mean, it's back to what you were saying before, John. In these games against United, Liverpool often wouldn't go on and... They'd often sometimes get one, but often not go on and confirm the dominance with goals. The Winter's got a fair bit of space there, which I'm unhappy about.
I just think earlier United teams had more spirit. This team just looks very lackluster.
The first 3 minutes they had there.
First 10 minutes they had three really good chances and hit the bar,
and they were kicking a lot.
I tell you what, you can see though, this Liverpool team looks more continental. It looks like it's got more technique.
Oh,
that's not.
I'm giving it.
Nicol going fuck off,
furious.
He wants a pen.
Great swearing from Steve Nicol, second to none.
That is a classic Liverpool move, there, isn't it? From that
era,
John.
The back ball just inside the fullback there.
Yeah. Nicol's power and pace.
Oh, come on. Yeah, that's a free kick. That.
Yep.
It's funny, I mean, I was mentioning this to Neil earlier on. I've been reading a book today.
You go, girl.
It's not actually out yet. I'm hopefully okay to talk about it. It's Ron Atkinson's autobiography. And he says, when he was manager of Man United, that Liverpool's most important player was the right back, and in most cases that was Phil Neal. He said because Phil Neal started an unbelievable amount of Liverpool's moves, you know, because he had more space, everything else. He was so good on the ball, and, you know, I think you can tell that here. Nichols on the ball a lot. Doesn't seem like they've got onto that yet. Is that your memory? I mean,
Nichols just such a complete footballer. I mean, Phil Neal,
Bruce
all day, lad.
And then he just plucks that from the air at the end, Bruce, like, it's
disdainfully.
So he wasn't trying to punch. When he was trying to catch that first cross coming in, incredible catch. Watch it again. He should punch it, but he's actually trying to catch it. Yeah.
He's unlucky there, to be
truthful. Yeah, he is unlucky.
And he plucks it out of the sky. Now, Steve Nicol, John, he was that good.
I think we spoke about him in an earlier programme, didn't we? That he's probably the most complete footballer we've ever had at the club because he was... He could play with 2 feet, he could head a ball brilliantly, up and down engine on him like a steam train, and could play in probably about 8 or 9 positions. Probably could play in goal, give him, you know, had a push.
Didn't he, I think, once or twice? I'm sure there's some sort of apocryphal tale about...
I remember David Burrows going in Moscow. Remember when
Sofla
got sent off in the pissing down ring?
another long ball from Grabalar.
No one ever criticised Steve Nicol, did they?
Late on Steve Nicol there. Very, very late on Steve Nicol. It's not Brian McClair.
He'd been the Footballer of the Year just the summer past, hadn't he?
Yeah.
I think that one, yeah. In the last title winning side. This is probably one of his last seasons as a fullback for Liverpool because they played him at centre half under Souness.
He's probably quietly not Nicol, I'll say Nicol, McClair. He's probably quietly underrated a little bit, really, Rob. He's through a lot of these periods where they nearly win the league, they come second, come right the way through, and by the time when they do go on to win the title in 92-93, I think, or 93-94, you know, he's playing a little bit deeper. He's a footballer who moved around, but he's one who, in the English game, you know, I know he's Scottish, but in the English game, he's actually had quite a lasting impact across 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, he's quite an intelligent footballer, Brian McClair. He's got a nose for goal. I don't think he's got massive quality, but I think, I've never read any Ferguson books, and I don't know if I'll ever get round to reading any, but I'm pretty sure he'd say Brian McClair was a really, really important footballer for him.
He went on to keep him in the backroom staff a couple of times, you know, so I think that says something.
He was a streetwise footballer, Brian McClair. You know, he was always kind of 7 out of 10, never the most, you know, outstanding player on the pitch, but if you take him out of the team, I always remember, you know, it kind of, you know, decreased Man United's kind of fluidity in the way they played, because he played further back, you know, on occasion, but he was always that kind of second striker, didn't score huge amounts of goals, wasn't on the same level as somebody like Peter Beardsley, but still at a very very high level, I thought.
And I'm prepared to be able to use him in games like this, where they just popped him left mid to shore it up, possibly to have a bit of an out ball. Great ball from Barnes.
What a ball from Barnes.
McMahon. Beardsley.
Oh my God, what a goal that is. It's worth describing that, Neil, from start to finish. The ball from Barnes, fucking hell.
Outside of the right foot.
It's almost like Sturridge's goal in Seville, but sort of stretched over a 35-yard pass.
It would just come McMahon getting onto the end of it at this stage, smuggling himself past Pallister, doing the very sensible thing when he could have a shot, and Beardsley, it's unstoppable.
I love the way the editor on the replay doesn't think Barnes' pass is worth showing. Here it is. Look at that.
Outside of his left.
It's perfect, isn't it?
Passing is mentally, you know, the last few minutes that he's made, Barnes, isn't it?
Absolutely unreal.
And this is new ground, 2-0 up at Liverpool. Liverpool against Man United, 2-0 up, first half. I would not have known what to have done had I been in the ground at this point. I'd never been here before, ever.
I think we look like Barcelona here. They've had their chances and they've been, you know, aggressive and threats in our box. But when we're turning it on and putting two passes together, it's just men against boys, this.
It's unbelievable, really.
Beardsley and Neil Webb. Bit of a difference between the two.
Yeah, they look like a team of yard dogs. Yeah.
But the Vols, I think that's...
They do, relatively. We're so much silkier in possession.
I think they look like a cross between a team of yard dogs and a team of young lads. And there's a little bit of both. I think you can see that there's a little bit of an experience in there before when, for instance, Beardsley turned away from Ince as though he wasn't there, just like, I know exactly what you're going to try and do next year. But they've got that mix of, for instance, Mike Phelan's in there, Clayton Blackmore's in there, Mark Robbins is in there, and Neil Webb doesn't look like he's up for this in general.
Agricultural footballers. Yeah. But there's no real finesse in that side. Hughes has probably got the most technique in that side, and you know, he's a good English centre-forward, Shearer-like, but you wouldn't say he's got incredible touch.
No, it's the bit that he did next, really, Ferguson, because, you know, he's got, not the goalkeeper, but he's got Dennis Irwin, he's got Bruce, he's got Pallister, he's got Hughes, he's got McClair, he's got Ince. It's the fact that you know he's going to add the...
Well, Giggs is the first bit of silk he adds, and then
it's sharp, doesn't he? It's sharp through the youth ranks, Kanchelskis, Cantona.
I would say Cantona and Giggs are the real first two technique footballers, and they're both there in the title-winning season, aren't they?
Sharp plays the season after this, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Pretty certain. I think he comes into the team.
That big win at Arsenal, that made him.
Did they win 6-2 at Arsenal?
6-3 or something it was, yeah.
Liverpool win it back. That is a terrible tackle on Steve Nicol.
He's taking it well.
Who just bounces up, having been scythed. He's not letting the pain show.
Was
that Ince?
His career,
I think Ince might have lashed that in. Ince gets taken off at half time, by the way, for Donaghy.
Mal Donaghy played for Luton, Northern Ireland.
Scored an own goal against
Norwich,
this one.
I think. Did he play for Norwich? Mal Donaghy? Do you remember him? Not very good.
Mostly Luton, wasn't it? Luton before this.
They had a lot of shit players in this era. Ralph Milne, Mal Donaghy. I think a latter day Viv Anderson had maybe only just left.
Clayton Blackmore, for God's
sake. Yeah, I know.
Sunbed.
Welsh international and not very good.
High and wide from Barnes.
There was a little shot a minute ago of the dugouts that were literally dug out, so the heads of were like in line with it. And I always think nowadays, how do managers see what's going on when they're stood on the sidelines? You know, like I know managers get slagged off when they sit up in the stands, but I always think they must be able to see the game develop better than there. How do you see it when you're just looking at feet? Yeah. Like, how did they possibly know what was going on?
I love, by the way, Kenny's got this wonderful rock star dugout pose
that he had. One arm up, manager, one hand on,
sort of half kneeling, half stood up. Like he's honestly, like he's just dropped a microphone and he's lead singer and he's just about to come back alive, like he's James Brown or something. I love all of those images of Kenny half out the dugout all the time. I think they're phenomenal.
He's looking down the road for the bus.
What do managers do before technical areas?
Routinely.
If he'd have tried it with that dugout at Anfield, half the paddock would have gone ballistic at him. Like, the frigging way, you lad.
Exactly.
And all chewy in the back of your hair.
It's interesting how little we've talked about Rush, who is playing number nine for Liverpool. He's not been in it at all. He's worked really hard running across the line, Carl, but he's not literally kicked the ball that often.
No, he's not been in it, no. And don't forget, he's also never scored against United at this point. That's coming, isn't it?
Now Mike Nevin's stepping
into
the room.
Somebody else will really enjoy this. Has just come in the room.
Yeah, Mike Nevin's now come into the room.
Beating United here, Mike.
4-0. Yeah. Mike Nevin's straight away. He wants to pull a chair up. Just jump on with Adam there, Mike.
It's the Beardsley hat-trick game,
isn't it? Mike Nevin knows exactly what game it is straight away. It is the Beardsley hat-trick game, yes, Mike.
We were building up to a moment there, Mike, and you just...
Good tackle.
Spoiler alert.
If I was watching this at home, I'd obviously want to know what Mike was wearing that day, which is his usual trick of saying.
I think it might have been a roll neck collar.
Fringle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kickers.
Three star jumper.
You're casual, Mike.
Very definitely, yeah.
The most.
Confirmed casual.
Mark Hughes bleeding there. Looks good. I can't tell if that's the picture or not.
No, he is, I think, yeah.
He's not bothered though, he's Mark
Hughes. Yeah, that's the view you'd get from the dugout, isn't it? Which is basically just people running around.
Legs and things. McMahon and Hughes have clashed there. I think that's what they're trying to show us with that camera angle, that McMahon and Hughes have clashed, I think. Which will have been...
T-win?
I don't know what on earth is that
like an extra in Victoria Woods dinner, ladies.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like one of those...
Butcher? What is that on his head?
When you're working
Mark Hughes.
Yeah, or Greg's.
Or Greg's.
United
production line somewhere.
I've never been into Greggs. What is this Greggs you speak of?
Cheap shit.
What are we doing here?
There we go. There's a back pass coming up now. Watch. If this doesn't go straight back to Grobbelaar.
That's as majestic as it gets.
That was a three. That was for those not watching in with eyes.
On his stats list now, completed pass.
Yeah. Knocked off there. Houghton, who I think has played really well, by the way, just quite quietly knitted things up and lovely little touch on him a couple of times. Burrows pings it in. Beardsley back on the ball. Feeds Barnes. What a ball.
Oh,
Rush nearly on the end of it. What a ball by John Barnes.
Barnes has touched the ball probably three or four times. Each time it's been, of the highest quality.
Houghton over there to take the corner.
He had that ability, though, he could be a full pelt running with the ball and with no intention or showing that he was about to whip a cross in. Mm. The cross would be whipped in.
It's all right.
It's a break in the play. We've no idea how far we're into this, have we?
No, we've got no sense of it.
I know. These did show earlier. I think we're up to about 35.
Oh, good. So we're due another goal soon?
At some point soon, yeah.
Possibly.
Was it on ITV? Have we got to watch the advert? Beardsley.
Rush scores next one, doesn't he? Because Beardsley completes hat-trick second half. I can picture it now. With the cop end.
Does he score?
It's a Barnes header.
No, because Rush didn't score.
Did Rush not score in this?
No. Oh, sorry. Until they won the league the year after.
So he stops them from
winning the league last day. Yeah, always look on the bright side of life.
That was the best one, that one.
Yeah. Does Mark Walters score and Rush score?
Walters scores the second one, doesn't the one that ties it up?
Yeah. That was Rush's first goal.
Looking marvellous.
How young does Kenny look?
Half of the dugout.
Walters runs away and gets a hug off that steward smoking a ciggy.
It's amazing to be reminded how young Kenny was as a manager there when you see it. He's only just past being a player. What is he, 36, 37 or something?
Yeah.
One of the remarkable things about the 86 Cup final is that you know, you're sort of obsessed about Dalglish being 35. Howard Kendall was only 39.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Just he'd lost his hair, wasn't he?
He was deemed to be older, wasn't he?
Just Steve McMahon looks about 49, 50.
He'd had a player manager's job at Blackpool, hadn't he, Kendall? Is that right?
Yeah. Blackburn.
Blackburn. McClair there. United just
like I think if Kendall was playing looking like he did then, that would have been quite a big story.
Sure, he got a game for Everton. You know, they were that bad at one stage when he first took over. Yeah. He was definitely registered as a player.
He came back as a player manager, didn't he, initially? And, you know, we haven't really shown anything.
Harry Katchick was on the bench once as well.
Long from Grobbelaar knocked off. Beardsley works across. McMahon picks the ball up, goes back to Grobbelaar.
I think McMahon's played well here.
McMahon's had a really good game. Whelan, you're not really noticed much, but you can presume he's doing stuff that you can't see in the middle of the pitch. And I think Houghton's played well as well, beyond the obvious superstars. John Barnes wins his header there because he always did.
I like the way that McMahon always moved as though he'd broken both his hips. Yeah. And he had to sort of like hit his thigh. Yeah, Beardsley running at people as per.
No, drag slightly wide. Should probably look to find Houghton who's coming in there and probably telling them that right now.
In that last bit of play there, did you see the way Rush was closing them down? We're pressing them. I wouldn't say, we're not pressing them like we press these days, but we're tight on them in midfield. What the space
we did press
that
John,
we get
in
midfield in this game is unbelievable. That pass by Barnes, the ball's knocked around three or four times. Barnes has got plenty of time to pick the ball up and look where he's going to play. He's not having to worry about fending off a defender.
Yep. They looked United again. They had the chances earlier on. It's a good foul that from, I think it's Ian Rush. They had the chances earlier on United where, you know, to get an early lead in the game. But they've sort of looked again because they're a young side and maybe because they know the technical deficiencies. Carl, they've looked like a side actually 2-0 down, lacking a bit of confidence, lacking a bit of conviction in what they're about.
Well, the last 10 minutes has been nothing like the first 10 minutes at all.
And it shows that comes from winning from confidence.
They should have been pinball in the box here.
What is the score here?
2-0 to Liverpool.
Currently 2-0, yeah. Good reminder for our listeners there. Is this an injury, for instance? That'll explain why he goes off at half time.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah.
A bit surprised that he would go off, though, because he was the golden boy, wasn't he, for that season?
And it doesn't look. Looks like he might have pulled something.
Oh, was that the game in the League Cup in 88 when he scored then twice at West Ham for us when West Ham were bottom of the league? Yeah. And everyone who went home that day just thought that lad has got some future.
I was at that game in London. He was incredible.
That was my first month in London. Matt.
He's quite injury prone when he was young, I think. Yeah.
As a latecomer into this match, what are the armbands for?
We can't make it out. We don't know.
Really.
No idea.
You just make something up.
They end up being wrong. Really, deeply disrespectful.
It was pretty rare for the sport of football to mark things. In
those I know.
Days.
I was like thinking about
minute silences now. I mean,
FA exec, maybe something like that.
Possibly, unless it was like a real sort of Liverpool connection thing. Yeah.
Jesus. Barnes giving it away, casually picking it up, and then a perfect reverse, and we're back on the attack. Beardsley using his strength, isn't he, to get behind.
So was this April or May?
September time.
September 16th to September.
We're in a run early on, even though we end up not getting anywhere near the title in the end, where we win 9 out of the first 10.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, I remember.
It's
1991, isn't it? We went
1990, yeah, but 1991 season.
Yeah, we win our first 8 games.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We draw at Norwich. I was down at that one.
Yeah.
I think I see virtually all of that run.
We actually brought a video out, I think.
Yes,
believe it or not.
I've got it. Yes.
Unstoppable start or something like that.
Yeah.
It's called.
Yeah. We beat the Blues, don't we? Is it 3-2 in this run or a Goodison? Or?
Yeah. Early season derby.
Tackle there. Barnes picks it back up.
I think Mike Newell scores for
there we go.
Don't we go 3-0 up at Goodison and let in 2? In a derby, was that the year before?
We did that a few times, you know.
The one when Kenny scored.
That was
it. No. It's definitely within a year
done
of this.
It again.
Yeah. Beardsley scores in the game. I'm talking about.
Good play. Oh. Barnes. It's dreadful from Les Seeley, if we're all honest about it. But John Barnes puts it where he can't get it.
I don't think Seeley expected him to get the header, which is why he didn't move.
The looping header.
Of course he gets the header.
I know, we know that. We've watched him every week
before something, John.
Look at Beardsley doing the nutmeg. Houghton,
aren't it?
Houghton
dinked ball in.
Miscue by, is it?
It's a bit of shitness from Nickel there. Like, you know.
That is a magnificent
header. Yeah.
See how Barnes is nonchalant and celebrating.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He just walked away smiling.
Just looks how you get
to. So Nickel's found himself from right back there.
Skies it, but what a position to be in for.
Oh,
right
it's a great
back.
Header. It is a great header.
Just one arm aloft.
And Sealy.
Yeah, just one arm aloft. Doesn't run to the corner flag and go down on his knees like Pete Townsend.
It's like a languid Shearer, isn't it? Sort of celebration.
You know what, that Kerrang bit in won't get fooled again.
Yeah. Standard 3-0 lead at Man United at home. Coming up to half time, Grabalar clears it long.
And it's almost like a turning point in history, this game. The last time we should know such dominance over them. The wankers.
But you got at this stage, you've got a fancy six, haven't you?
Oh,
second
yeah.
half, you've got a fancy Kenny, another three.
Kenny halfway out the dugout shouting about something.
Furious.
Beardsley facing his man up.
Twisting and turning, laying it off. You felt like to a Liverpool player, it's not quite come that way. I think Beardsley's probably in the right there. Somebody
yeah, he had
be
a
in
right,
that
yeah.
space.
He knew what he could expect.
Yeah.
There's a famous Beardsley pass which he plays blind in a cup tie against. Is it Brentford at Anfield, Michael John? Where he reverses it into somebody steaming. Houghton, I think, coming up the right wing. It was a 4-0 cup tie at Anfield.
Yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's on the counter and he swivels and reverses it blind towards the Kemlin. And just, he had no right to know someone should be breaking on the wing.
Is it Barnes?
Barnes scores. Sort of
is it McMahon breaking? Is it McMahon breaking?
It might be McMahon.
Okay.
McMahon. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much to the gentlemen who've ended up gathered here. Rob Gutman, John Mackin, Simon Hughes, Mike Nevin, Adam Smith, Carl Kopak, John Gibbons for producing. Liverpool have gone in 3-0 at half-time against Manchester United. If I can say hello to our friend Steve Armstrong, who might be listening to this. I think he once told me this game. He was watching this and he was thinking, we're never going to get ahead of these. Transpired, he was emphatically wrong. Liverpool, it says in the report I saw from in The Guardian about how everyone will be looking on ominously as Liverpool edge towards their 19th title. This is in September. They were saying that sort of thing about this game. That's the way in which it goes. You know what happens next. That's the rest of history. But Liverpool have gone in half-time, 3-0 against Manchester United. Beardsley will make it 4. That's the big match. Watch the rest of it if you want. Thanks for listening.